Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's time for our spring membership drive. More about that in just a minute. Spring has officially sprung, I hope. Flowers are blooming and gardeners are flexing those green thumbs. But it's a different kind of spring this year, earlier with temperatures all over the place. Joining us today with her wisdom is Ohio's garden sage, author, teacher, and lecturer, and blogger, Deborah Kanapke. Welcome back.
Nice to be here.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive. Remember, listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. Boy, we've been looking forward to this for a while. For a membership of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, you can get a very special offer available for this hour only. Get a ticket for an All Sides with Ann Fisher exclusive event that we are calling Drinks and Dirt. On Tuesday, May 9th from 6 to 8 p.m., join me and my guest today, Deborah Kanapke, for a special Q&A session. Have drinks and light hors d'oeuvres and make your own herb planner to take home. This is a member-exclusive event only for those who donate to All Sides this hour. Don't miss this chance to have a great night out while supporting public radio. That's $10 a month as a sustaining member. There are more details about the event at WOSU.org or calling 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. And Deborah Kanapke, we know it's going to be fun because we did it last winter and it was a super blast.
We had a ball. It was succulents last winter, and this year, at this time, it's herbs, which is just one of my favorite things. And in fact, I brought one for you as a teaser to this event, and I want you to smell it and touch it and describe it. Don't read the tag.
Doesn't mean anything to me anyway. It doesn't smell like anything.
Oh, come on. Rub it. Rub it.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Ooh.
Ooh. What is it?
I don't know. It smells kind of minty and piney.
And fruity?
And fruity, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? A pear tree?
No. It is a pineapple sage.
Oh, that's that. That's that.
Yeah. And this one is Golden Delicious, which is the Golden cultivar, and I also brought some flowers. You can see they're deep flowers, and they are hummingbird magnets. Hummingbirds, and then bees, what they'll do is they'll chew into the bottom and take the nectar out that way. They kind of cheat.
What kind are these? Is from the same plant?
That's the same plant. Those are the flowers. They're very long and tubular.
Kind of like, yeah.
It's in the mint family, bright red, and for those of you who may get to see this on TV, you'll see that it is just gorgeous red. It's hummingbird red.
It's perfect. It's gorgeous. That's what we're talking about today. Gorgeous, beautiful plants. If you have a question or comment for my guest, Deborah Kanapke, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out Facebook and post your question or your comment there. Go to the All Sides Facebook page and post your question or comment. Oops, I've got dirt all over everything.
Oops, sorry about that.
Okay.
Soil.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about the herb garden in general. There's some things that kind of make it through the year, like my chives.
Mm-hmm.
Sorrel's not really an herb, I guess. But
oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, is that considered an herb? Mm-hmm. That thing just comes back, you know, blazing.
Right. Very high in vitamin C. It's one of the spring greens.
Right.
Pardon me. It is wonderful for the spring waking up. But oregano, thyme, that's coming back pretty soon. The lavenders will be coming back. This year, if you left some rosemaries outside in a protected location, they will come back this year. We didn't have as cold a winter. But they're, echinacea, which is an herb or a perennial, depending on how you define it, the purple coneflower.
Bee balm.
All the sages. I have several different sages in my garden that will come back. This one is a tender sage, the one I brought you, the pineapple sage. And I don't think it would have come back this winter. It's a zone 8 plant, which is North Carolina, Raleigh.
What makes a sage a sage?
It belongs to the genus Salvia, although there are some plants that are called sage that aren't actually in the genus Salvia.
Okay.
I have a little story about, you know, botanical names and that, and we'll see. Maybe we'll get to that later.
You know your botanical names.
Yeah, know your botanical name so you don't make an oops. But this is Salvia elegans. The one that we put in our turkey stuffing is Salvia officinalis. The hummingbird sage, which is black and blue, is Salvia guaranitica. And there are 897 other species of Salvia, about 900. All over the world.
I've never seen a sage with that kind of floral output.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the tender sages. So it's semi-tropical and some of the tropical sages. There's one that is absolutely gorgeous called Mexican bush sage from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
It gets about 4 to 6 feet tall and blooms in September and October. And it's this beautiful blue, fuzzy flower. And the flower itself, it's a long spike that can be anywhere from 4 to 12 inches long. So, yeah, there are some amazing salvias or sages out there.
We're talking about herbs and herb gardens this hour with my guest, Deborah Kanapke, gardening expert, author, teacher, lecturer, and blogger. If you have a question or comment for Deborah, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This hour of All Sides is all about plants and gardening and getting your spring garden ready to go, and this is our spring membership drive. Support a talk show that is truly local. Only on 89.7 NPR News do you get access to all of this great gardening information from Deborah Kanapke, and you have the chance to ask her questions, too. And for this hour only, we're offering you a special thank you gift for $10 a month as a sustainer. Get a ticket for a special night of drinks and dirt. It is Tuesday, May 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Fawcett Center on the OSU campus, just a couple walls away from our studio where we're sitting right now. The event opens with a Q&A led by me with Deb Kanapke with a focus on herbs. From there, Deb and I will demonstrate how to make a culinary herb planter. Each guest receives all the materials and hands-on instruction to create your very own herb planter, and drinks and light hors d'oeuvres that complement the featured herbs will be served. It will be a great evening out, and it's a great thank you gift for supporting 89.7 NPR News. Become a member at $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. Get a ticket to join us for drinks and dirt. I'll be there. Deb will be there. Will you join us? Spend a fun night with fans of 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind experience for WOSU members only. That's $10 a month as a sustainer for a ticket, and we have a limited number of tickets. Get that gift in early if you want to go. Or think about it as a gift for somebody else you love and somebody you know. Mother's Day's coming up. That would be a blast.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the drinks and dirt we did over the winter, there were a lot of people there that had received it as gifts,
mm-hmm.
and they were thrilled. So go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. You know, temperatures have been all over the place this winter. We have an early spring, mm-hmm. Deb Kanapke. How are you handling that? What do we need to know? I'm confused.
Yeah.
As usual.
Yeah, we've had an early spring, although it's not our earliest spring, which I'll get to in a minute. Basically, I'm just watching what's coming up, knowing that there's not much I can do about it. I can go out and cover maybe some tender plants, but most of the plants that come up this time of year are somewhat adapted to dealing with cold temperatures. Now, you may have some bud blast, which means you may lose your flowers, but the plant itself will either weather the weather or it will grow new leaves, new and sometimes new flower buds. You might have noticed that the forsythia took a big hit.
Right.
But now it's blooming again because not all the flowers had opened yet. And so the ones that hadn't were able to flower after the deep dip in the temperatures. And there's something called growing degree days, GDD. And that is essentially, and it's a formula, which I'm not going to go into, but it's how warm we have been over time. And a certain amount of warmth signals certain activities of plants and animals. So you have this blooming or this coming up or this insect hatching, like the eastern tent caterpillar came out early this year. so far in 2000, let's see, in 2000, to as of today, we have 159 GDD credits, if you will, or hours. But last year we had 166, so we were actually a little bit further ahead heat-wise
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then in 2012, we had 277. It's because we didn't really have a winter that year.
Oh, that's what it felt like this year. I think we had one day of snow.
Yeah, no winter. But 2015, 14, and 13, they were all really low on this date. It was 50, 50, and 41. So we had a delayed spring for 3 years before last year. And this is not... This is kind of normal that we go up and down. However, the lack of winter can be a big issue for some of our insects and some of our trees and whatever. I remember there being some pretty significant kills of peach blossoms because we got a late frost in 2012.
Right, I remember that because I buy peaches for
That's
pies.
That's right.
And
so we were early on our growing degree days, but then we got a late frost, which took out a lot of plants and a lot of blooms. So having a high growing degree day number is not necessarily a good thing. We want our plants to stay cool, cold. I love peaches and apples and pears and plums, and I don't want those blossoms to go away. So we are high. We're at 159, and today we're going up into the mid-60s, I believe, and that will give us some more GDD hours.
It seems like just over the weekend, things greened up even more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It happens really fast once the heat it starts accumulating more quickly, unless we get that deep dip again.
A lot of people fertilized their lawns in the last week or two, and then a lot of people were out cutting their lawns. Mm-hmm. We have an email from Chris about his lawn. I live in a typical size suburban lot in Worthington, and I want to replace my existing grass yard with low or no mow grass. Mm-hmm. I have 6 mature trees in my backyard, and I'm concerned about causing harm to them when I remove my existing grass. Do you know of a good way to remove the existing grass and protect the trees?
Hmm. Ooh, there's a lot of camps on that one. You could do sod removal, but again, that is a huge labor-intensive process, and I certainly wouldn't recommend that unless you're trying to build muscle. I would avoid, since you have so many trees that may have surface roots, I would avoid using Roundup. Some people like to do a solarization process where you put down black plastic or clear plastic and kill the grass underneath and then direct sow into that after you kind of rake it up. You don't till because, again, you can damage roots, and that's also a lot of extra work. And then you can put down that low-mow grass and follow the instructions well when you do the low-mow grass or low-meadow grasses or whatever you're thinking of using, because you have to get it well established. And there is sort of a time frame when you want to spread that seed in the spring and fall. So make sure you get good information on that. Something that I have done in my own lawn, I call mine a low-meadow. I have all kinds of, yes, that's what I'm calling it now, my low meadow. I have violets and whatever, and I've just let them slowly infiltrate, but we do still have to mow because our grass does grow. But we've also kicked back the fertilizer. People over-fertilize lawns, and I know the mean, clean, green lawn is something that some people lust after. Me, I am concerned about the high levels of nitrogen and phosphorus, if it's still in your fertilizer. A lot of fertilizers are losing the phosphorus. I know there are several brands that there is no middle number. It's zero. But I am concerned about the high level of nitrogen. I use composted distilled brewery grains, which is the leftover from the brewing process, and the nitrogen is very low. So it's slow release, gentle, and I have an even green over the whole season as opposed to just these huge, wow, of intense green after fertilization with a high nitrogen. But I am noticing that a lot of products are backing off some, which I think is a good thing. It's like having too much of a good thing in your life.
Thank you to Laura Collins in Columbus for your pledge of support. Laura writes, I'm so thankful for NPR. It keeps me sane. Well, people like you there, Laura Collins, keep us in business so that we can provide you that sanity that you've come to depend on year after year after year. You're listening to 89.7 NPR News, All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our spring membership drive. It's listener-supported. We need you to support the in-depth conversations we bring to you every day. You only find this kind of news and information on public radio, so support 89.7 NPR News at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And we've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's a special time to become a member because for this hour only, we have a great thank you gift, for $10 a month as a sustainer. You can join us for a fun night out called Drinks and Dirt. We'll have a Q&A session, drinks and hors d'oeuvres, and everyone will make their own herb planner to take home. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to Barbara Birch in Reynoldsburg for your support. Thank you so much, Barbara. The event is on Tuesday, May 9th at 6 p.m. Each guest receives all the materials and hands-on instruction to create their very own herb planner. Deb is there to walk around and talk to people and give you some tips. There also will be free parking at this event, which is the Fawcett Center on Ohio State's campus. This is a public radio member-only event. That's $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And I mentioned that it's at the Fawcett Center on the OSU campus. That's where WOSU is located. You'll be just a few doors away, and I think we can probably sneak over and get some quick tours of the studios. You can see where All Sides is produced every day, where all the magic happens for 2 hours a day. A lot of the hard work happens elsewhere, but the magic happens on the air. Give us a call, 614-292-8513 if you have a question or comment. Thanks to Meridi Shake and Columbus for your pledge of support. Thank you so much for helping us out and showing your support for the programs that you love and depend on every single day. When can we start to put, growing plants in our gardens? When can we plant plants?
It depends on what you're planting. If you're planting tomatoes, please wait till after Mother's Day.
All right.
So all your tender vegetables, I really think we're going to get some interesting cold snaps just because of the way the weather has been happening. For perennials, perennials are on sale now. A lot of nurseries and garden centers are saying, hey, come on in. We have plants for you. So your perennials, you could actually put in now. And your peas that you eat, you should have sowed those already or sow them soon. They like cool soils. They like it. It used to be, I heard, you would plant your peas on St. Patrick's Day. But
I've never
seemed to do that because I don't have my soil ready. One of these years, I'm going to get my bed ready in the fall so that I can go out on St. Patrick's Day and plant my peas and see if it's really, really works. I will be planting them this weekend because that's when I'm going to have the bed ready.
What do you do to get your bed ready?
Well, I just kind of, this year I tried something new. I'm always trying something new.
I know it.
I buried a lot of my compost from the kitchen in different areas of the garden in the early winter. And then I went out a couple times this winter and kind of just dug it up when we had those warm spells.
How did it look?
A lot of it was disappearing. So the organisms in the soil were doing their job. And so what I want to do is just kind of dig it up a little bit more. Not a lot. I don't want to disturb it a lot. But enough that I can get rows in it and put my peas where I have my towers and I have like sort of a ladder for them to climb up. And that'll do this weekend. I was going to do it last weekend, but I just didn't get to it. I was at a conference on Saturday. And then Sunday, I went to see Beauty and the Beast with my granddaughter.
Oh, man. I don't think anyone's going to beat you up, Deborah Knapke, for slacking off in the garden department. With the peas, we had some great sweet peas last year that the rodents, something got to the bottom of them and would nibble them at the bottom. It was like they wanted to torture us.
Yeah, it could be.
How do you protect your peas from?
You know, do not throw out your your rolls from your paper towels and your toilet paper rolls. Keep those, and as the peas grow up, then you can put like a small ring around it, sort of dug into the soil where you're putting the seed
and the stake, yeah,
and the stake, and so you can put that in the soil and put that in there. So maybe it's about 2 inches above. It could be slugs, it could be insects, it could be cutworms, it could be little mammals that think peas are good to chew on.
Yeah.
So it just depends on what's in your garden. But that would protect them from some of the rodents, et cetera, that might go after your peas.
We got like a little mini greenhouse sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to use this year because of these cold snaps we're expecting. Will that help, do you think?
It depends. Is it like a cold frame where you kind of plop it over where you've planted things? It can. It can definitely help because it would keep the frost off of your plants. And it also offers protection inside. All I can say is try it. I've used tomato towers. I've used sheets. I've used all kinds of things for my plants. And most of the time, you just want to trap some of the warm air, and you just have to make sure that you take it off the next day before the sun comes up. Otherwise, you may bake your plants.
Right. That's the trick.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to herbs, are there some that are better to start by seed, or some to better just to get from cuttings?
From seed, I will start my dill, cilantro, coriander.
Coriander, cilantro.
It just comes back.
It just reseeds itself now.
Most of the annuals are how I start with seed. For my other plants, although, you know, I let my thymes self-seed and my lavenders have self-seeded and oregano self-seeds all over the place.
And right. Right.
So you can use seed for anything. In fact, that's the inexpensive way to do it. Or you can buy plants and support our garden centers and nurseries.
Yep. Chadwick Arboretum spring sales coming up.
We have a sale coming up real soon. Second weekend of May, mm-hmm. Mother's Day again.
Right.
And cuttings, like this is a cutting off my plant that I brought in for you, the pineapple sage. I brought in some plants into the greenhouse and I took cuttings about a month ago. And that is a cutting from my plant.
Wow.
And it's just...
looks healthy as a horse.
Well, yeah. I use soil and I use compost. No, you didn't butcher it. You just took a leaf off so you could sit there and smell it because it smells so good.
It smells like pineapple.
And it's so soft and suvvy.
Yeah. That's that sagey thing about
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
1-866-897-9678. That's a number to call to show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher for 89.7 NPR News for Public Radio. We need your help. That's what we do. We ask you for your help. We ask you to support the shows. We ask you to support the programming that you depend on every single day. It is listener-supported, 89.7 NPR News. And you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher now, but you'll hear this all day long. Joining us today is Ohio's Garden Sage, Deborah Kanapke. Deb will join us in May for our special event, Drinks and Dirt. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer. You get a special experience. You'll join us for drinks, later hors d'oeuvres, and a Q&A session, and you'll make your own herb planter to take home. That's $10 a month as a sustainer right now. Don't miss this opportunity. Make a gift of $10 a month, which can be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. You'll join us at the Fawcett Center at OSU with free parking. The event is Tuesday, May 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. Registration begins at 5:30. You'll receive all the materials and hands-on instructions that you need to create your very own herb planter to take home. The event opens with a Q&A session led by me with Deborah Kanapke. We'll have drinks and light hors d'oeuvres that complement the herbs we're learning about implanting. I guess I'm not sure what they will be, but... you know, it's always good to eat and drink and be merry together mm-hmm. with Deborah Kanapke, as I've learned. So join us. It's a lot of fun. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Tomatoes.
Yes.
You should be moving them almost every year, right? That's tough on a lot of people.
Yeah, I admit I have my tomatoes in the same place 2 years in a row.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to let the other part of the garden kind of recover and maybe the pathogens go low. I have four places I can put them within my exclosure. And so they will be moved this year because they've been in the same place two years in a row. I see more disease pressure the second year. And the big thing is I'm hoping with the compost that I'm digging into the soil that will make the microorganisms in the soil stronger and the soil better for the plants so the plants grow well. Because a stress plant is more likely to become attacked by disease or fail or be stressed by weather events. So, yeah, I move mine every other year.
I was going to put all my herbs in one of our raised beds,
mm-hmm.
but they don't all like the same kind of moisture I was reading.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like mint like has a very different desire for moisture than, say, a rosemary.
Right. And mint is a forest species, if you will, or edge of the forest. So it wants those deep, humusy soils that are moist most of the time, whereas your thyme, rosemary, oregano, and most of your sages are Mediterranean plants or plants that grow in drier areas. So when you put those two together, one of them's not going to be happy in the same
mm-hmm.
place.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to look at those cultural needs. Now this one, pineapple sage, actually likes to be more moist.
Okay.
It doesn't like to totally dry out, whereas my Salvia officinalis, it can get really hot and dry and it's still great. If it's hot and dry, my pineapple sage says, please water me.
Yeah, it looks a little more exotic.
Yeah, well, it's subtropical-ish.
Okay.
It expects a little bit more water.
Thanks to Jack and Natasha Pasica in Columbus for your pledge of support to 89.7 NPR News. And anyone else out there who's, I know you want, it only takes a couple minutes. You don't want to tear yourself away from the radio. You want to keep listening to the show. Understood. But honestly, we've managed this. We've designed it. So it only takes a couple of minutes. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Either way, it only takes a sec. So I was thinking that I'm moving my tomatoes. See, people, if you don't call in with your questions, I sit here and ask all my questions. I was thinking of moving my tomatoes to a new, mm-hmm. you know.
Now that the tree's gone, right?
One of the raised beds. And then where I had a lot of the tomatoes and a lot of stuff last year, just growing cosmos.
Sure.
Why is that not? Okay? Does that give it the break it needs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Would be nice if you could find a plant that is also a nitrogen fixer to put some nitrogen into the soil.
What would that be?
That would be your peas and beans.
Okay. All right.
So if you have some bush beans to put in there too, maybe on the edges and the cosmos in the middle.
All right.
In the beans in the sunny side.
Right.
And some other nitrogen fixers are peas.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know.
It would be nice to put that back into the soil.
Yeah, I know. Deborah knows that the tree has been taken down in our neighbor's yard. Thank you, neighbors, because it's
more
really
sun.
Going crazy. And it gives us a lot more opportunity to grow. We need sun. Sun is good. What about pruning stuff?
It depends.
Right.
For the most part, the pruning windows mostly closed. The fruit trees, their pruning window is, I believe, done. I went to a phenomenal pruning workshop at Lynn's Fruit Farm.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to know how to prune peaches. And you prune the dickens out of them. You take the whole inside out. It makes this vase so all the peaches can get light. Because if they don't get light,
yeah.
they don't form well. And you take off all the parts and you shorten it because you don't want too many peaches. Otherwise, it'll bend the branches and break them. And I've known how to prune apples, but I never understood peaches. And I just stood there and I keep meaning to put this on
my
blog.
Are they that different?
Oh, it's totally different for a peach than an apple, even though they're in the same family. Same with apricots. And
what about cherries?
Cherries. We didn't prune cherries, but cherries, I've pruned like I would prune an ornamental tree, but I do leave, I like to have it a little bit more open, but not as open as you do for a peach. But it's so fruit trees are done differently depending because you are pruning them for production, not for aesthetics.
Right.
So there's a different purpose there. For pruning for aesthetics, please do not prune anything that's a maple at this point.
Okay.
Because it will just constantly drip sap. And for the most part, the only thing I'm pruning is anything that looks like it's dead or it's crossing branches. Crossing branches aren't good because they rub. And dead, it's already dead, so it's not going to be a problem as long as you're not getting into a lot of live wood. And pretty soon I'll start pruning back my lavenders if I'm seeing dead in them.
Okay.
But I don't prune them back hard until after they bloom in June. So it depends. You know, there's kind of a rule in herbaceous plants that, that's dividing. I'm thinking of pruning. You want to prune after something blooms for the most part if you're pruning for shape, or if you're pruning to reduce growth, like my asters. Late May, early June, I'll prune them back by half so they don't fall over because they get too tall. So there's that kind of pruning too. Woody plants pruning, herbaceous plants pruning. And a lot of times I just do it when I can. But most of my woody plant pruning is in late fall, early winter, or to mid to late winter. But I try not to prune woody plants when I can tell the sap is rising.
Which, how can you tell the sap is rising?
The buds start swelling.
Oh.
Yeah, and I saw red maple and silver maple buds swelling. Golly, was that beginning of February this year? Because of the warm days we had in January. And I looked at that and I said, oh, please not yet. This is too early. It was sort of a start and stop procedure.
It's bad enough when you know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't know what to do, it's kind of diabolical, the weather.
And with a maple, there's nothing I can do. It's just like, oh, you're a little early, aren't you?
Yeah. There's hello.
Nothing you can do.
Hello. If you have a question or comment for Deborah Kanapke, our gardening expert, author, teacher, lecturer, and blogger, you're welcome to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So far, no one has called in. It's kind of weird and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I can fill the time in the air, but it'd be great to hear from our listeners. 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So you're saying you think we might still get a sneaky frost?
Oh, I think it's entirely possible. We had a sneaky frost, was it last year or the year before, on May 20th?
Oh, my gosh. That's right. That's what got so much stuff.
Right.
I think I had one cherry last year.
Yeah. So,
literally
we can still.
One.
That's why I'm saying leave your tomatoes out, although I have in the past. I've put my tomatoes out at the end of April, beginning of May, but I started my tomatoes late this year, so they're not getting out till Mother's Day. They're only a couple inches tall, and I'll be transplanting them probably next weekend along with other things that I'm doing.
Do you do a lot of the heirloom style?
They're mostly heirlooms, but I have some interesting hybrids to try. Garden writers were sent a whole bunch of interesting seeds, new tomatoes to try. So I'm going to do that. And they send all this seed, and I'm thinking, I can't start all of this. But I started quite a few. I have 18 tomato varieties in my community pots right now.
Really? That many different varieties?
I have 18 different varieties, and now I have to figure out where they're all going to be planted. So if anyone wants to try some new tomatoes, and if they promise to get back to me on how they like them, then give me a call or send me an email. Am I allowed to put my email on air?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want.
If you want to try some new tomatoes, dkanapke@columbus.rr.com. I hope that doesn't open the floodgates.
It just might.
But
we will post it on our website. And if the floodgates aren't open with the announcement, go to wosu.org/allsides and we'll see what Deb
gets. We'll see what happens, yeah. They'll be in small pots and you'll have to grow them on a bit. But this weekend I'll be transferring and I will only be keeping two per variety. And I have at least 5 to 7 of each one. Oh, okay. You want some too? All right. We have
sure
one
do.
Taker.
I have one taker.
And,
yeah.
And I'm assuming people aren't calling with questions because they're all flooding the phones. No.
Well, Phyllis Roberts did. Thanks to Phyllis Roberts
Thank you,
in
Phyllis.
Marysville for your support. Just about 20 minutes left in this hour. I'd like to get 10 calls in 20 minutes. I know we
Sounds
can do
good
it.
To me.
Yes. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. It's hard for me to break away and ask, but I need to because that's what Pledge Drive is all about. That's what our membership drive is all about, is asking you to show your support. It serves a couple different functions, one of which is it helps support our station. We depend on many, 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 many people to give whatever they can afford to keep the station on the air, to keep programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher on the air. We also depend on your support at this time of year so that we know that you do care, to hear what you have to say about the programming, to hear what you have to say about All Sides with Ann Fisher or whatever it is that you care about on 89.7 NPR News. So I read it. If maybe they shield me from some of the negative remarks, but we all listen. We all care about what you think. So remember, it's listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us today, Ohio's Garden Sage, Deborah Kanapke, and Deb joins us in May for our very special event, Drinks and Dirt. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer. You join us for drinks, light hors d'oeuvres, a Q&A session, and you make your own herb planner to take home. That's $10 a month as a sustainer right now. Don't miss this opportunity. Make a gift of $10 a month, which can be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Make that show of support right now. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides and all the other great NPR programs like On Point, Here and Now, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, they are paid for with listener support. And in return for your membership, we're offering that great gift for this hour only, a ticket to our Drinks and Dirt event. Have a fun night out. Get some friends of yours to show their support as well and get tickets of their own, and you go with a gang. Otherwise, there were some people that a bunch of people came on their own and mm-hmm. made a bunch of new friends at the event, which was super fun. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. We have an email from Chad.
Okay.
I have two columnar apple trees planted in an area that gets very wet in the spring. Mm-hmm. Does this place them in danger of root rot or any disease?
Yes.
Sorry, Chad.
Fruit trees do not like to have wet feet. They can take some wetness off and on, but they don't like moist, wet soil. It sounds like if you have wet soil, and if it's a spring wet soil, that means it's wet for 3 to 5 days. And that can be a problem with root rots and stressing the tree out.
What's a columnar apple tree?
There's some really cool ones. I think there are also some for pears, but they are they're pruned, but they're naturally columnar. But they're also, you can prune them to keep them this way, and then you get the apples on, and they can go quite tall over time, but they stay narrow, and so they're great patio trees.
Okay.
And you can buy them, I've seen them in different catalogs. I'm not sure which ones, but I'm thinking Stark Brothers,
Gurney's. But you can actually pot them? They can be potted?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's nice if there's a big pot so that they can be shielded in the winter. But you can also put them right in the soil right by, and they make really cute exclamation points. You can kind of play with having the different varieties. There are different apples, and I think I saw pears, too, or plums, columnar pears and plums. Hmm. So that would be quite fun.
But watch the wet soil.
The wet soil can be a problem.
Email from Lou asks, my current garden is at ground level. Are there advantages to abandoning the one at ground level and creating raised beds instead?
That all depends if you're seeing issues at ground level. If you're, what I like about raised beds, and I guess you need to do a pro-con here. What I like about raised beds is that you can create a soil mix in the raised beds, and it lifts them up when we do have those spring rains and autumn rains, and there go your pumpkins because all of a sudden they're inundated with wet. But they raise them up, and it's easier to prepare that raised bed in the, say, in the spring, because more of the water will drain away. However, if what you have underneath is compacted soil and you don't break some of that up, you could then be raising the water in your raised beds too. Mm-hmm. So it would be nice to break up any crust of lower soil before you put in the soil for your raised bed.
I notice we don't get as many weeds in our raised beds.
And that's another night. And it's easier sometimes, depending on how tall the raised bed is to get the weeds out.
Yeah.
Because some raised beds, you can sit on it. If it's a knee wall, like 18 inches, you can sit on it and work in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's tall enough that you can stand and work in it. I have a friend of mine who's no longer with us made beds that were standing tall for him. And he could get all the way around it and weed. And he said it was easy getting down on the ground. He just couldn't get back up. So he had standing raised beds. So that's another reason to have raised beds for ease of maintenance.
We have just 14 minutes to go and 10 calls to go. I'd like 10 more calls, if we can, to show your support for 89.7 NPR News, to show us that this is the kind of programming you enjoy. We know you do. I mean, on a typical day with Deb, the phones are just lit up like a Christmas tree. Not today. We've got some emails, though, that I'm going to get to. But I want you to think about what you value about 89.7 NPR News. If you're listening now, please call in 1-866-897-9678. I've been describing our thank you gift to you at the $10 a month sustainer level. But we thank you for anything that you could offer us at any level you can manage. 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to Teresa Ballantyne in Dublin for your support. 9 to go in just about 13 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org and show your support right now. I'll describe our thank you gift in just a minute. But first, I want to get an email from Deborah. She says, my rue, R-U-E, mm-hmm. is about 3.5 feet tall. When should I prune it? First of all, what's a rue besides a regret?
Rue, Ruta graveolens, is in the grapefruit family.
Okay.
And you need to be a little bit careful with this particular plant because some people have a dermatitis reaction to it. So, Deborah, I hope you're using gloves when you prune it back. You can prune it any time you want. If I had a rue that was that tall and I didn't want it to be that tall, I would probably prune it back now. Prune it back to the Y's. You know, look where the branches come in. And just shape it the way you want it, or you can wait till it starts growing. I don't know if you use the rue for anything. You need to be careful how it's used. It was used traditionally, but currently some of the uses are not recommended. But it makes great compost in your compost pile, and those compounds that can cause a dermatitis reaction are neutralized in the compost pile.
Thanks to Tara Smith and Canal Winchester for your support. We have just 8 more calls to go and just about 11 minutes left. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. And just a reminder that joining us today is Ohio's Garden Sage Deborah Kanapke. Deb will join us in May for our special event, Drinks and Dirt. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer. You join us for drinks, light hors d'oeuvres, and a Q&A session. And you get to talk to Deb one-on-one. You make your own herb planter to take home. That's $10 a month as a sustainer right now. Don't miss this opportunity. It's a lot of fun. Make a gift of $10 a month, which can be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And thanks to Robin Vacheres in Stoutsville for your pledge of support. 7 more calls to go this hour, and we've just got about 10 minutes. 7 more calls. I know we can do it. I know you're out there. Just pick up the phone or go online, 1-866-897-9678, or online at WOSU.org. And by the way, I'll be there at the Drinks and Dirt mm-hmm. event. I'll be conducting the Q&A with Deborah Kanapke. We'll also be hanging out with you and sharing Drinks and Dirt with you. Deborah, one of the things as I learned from preparing this in talking about what we're going to be doing at the Drinks and Dirt event is that when you do herbs in a pot,
mm-hmm.
it should be a shallower container.
I like to use shallower containers.
Tell me why.
Because I think it looks pretty. I have some very deep containers. In fact, I'll be bringing two deeper containers for our competition.
Oh, that's right. We have a competition.
We have a competition.
That's the other thing. People who attend the Drinks and Dirt event get to vote.
Get to vote.
Please vote for Deb. Because...
No, you can vote. I'll only cry quietly. But I also use deep containers. I was thinking for this particular event, it would be nice to have a shallow container, but I use shallow
like a tabletop
and
deep, or
a table topper, okay. Which is what I was thinking this would be for this event.
Okay.
But I do also have deep containers because for the whole, if I want this container to go through the whole summer, I need root run for a deep container.
Okay.
And in fact, you know, you can do the cute little containers and have that on the table for a month. And then when it starts out growing the container, then you can take those herbs and put them in your garden.
Okay. Okay. You can keep them.
Yeah, you can keep them.
Thanks to Julie Woodall in Columbus for your pledge of support. Thanks, Julie, for showing us that you care about your 89.7 NPR local radio station. Six more calls to go this hour and just about 8 or 9 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And thanks again, Julie, for showing your support. And by the way, you know, I highly recommend picking up the phone and calling a friend and telling them about this. Tell them it's going to be fun. If you went to it over the winter, hopefully you can manage it again because we had such a great group and it was pretty much of a blast. I really loved the variety of people that were there, all different age groups, all different walks of life. It was a lot of fun. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. An email from Justin. I'm having a continuing issue with deer or some other animal eating all of my tomato buds right before they bloom. Ooh, what's a good way to fix this issue?
Exclude the deer. I have an exclosure. The deer were eating my my tomatoes. They were eating the tomatoes themselves. So were the raccoons.
Every once in a while, all of a sudden, there's a big chomp out of a tomato. Yeah.
And the raccoons were eating them. The deer were eating them. And sometimes I'll have a tomato that will go over the exclosure, and they'll eat that right off. So unfortunately, you know, you don't want to be spraying that nasty, smelly stuff on your tomatoes that you're going to eat. Mm-hmm. But you could when the tomatoes were young. It's just that tomatoes grow so fast, you won't be protecting the new growth.
Yeah.
So if you can figure out a way to exclude the deer from that area, do that.
An email from Melissa. She says, I am a beginning gardener / new homeowner. I have large amounts of wild onions or chives. I'm not sure of the difference. Growing all over my lawn and taking over my garden beds. How do I get rid of these herbs and prevent them from spreading without killing my other plants in those beds?
That's a tough one because I also have the same problem, that wild onion that sprouts up. It's actually edible, but I don't find it particularly tasty. Basically, as soon as I see them, I dig them up as much as I can and gently take the bulbs out so that I don't leave bulbs behind. If you can keep after it in your garden beds, you'll eventually get rid of most of them, and please don't let them go to seed. So you need to keep doing that. And then towards the middle of the summer, I get really tired of digging them up and I just chop down the tops and leave them on the soil, which it's actually good for the other plants. In the lawn, you just need to keep mowing them back. If you have a big patch of them, you could dig them up and then put some grass seed down or clover seed to fight with them. But those little bulbs stay in there. It's not easy to get rid of them. But if they're in your beds, then using a herbicide is really not an option because you might damage your other plants.
Speaking of something that's not easy to get rid of, those little moundy puffball things, you know, they're mound green.
The lesser celandine that's with the oh, you're talking about the little winter bittercress with the weed with the little tiny white flowers.
This is the worst year yet. Now it's just taking over my lawn.
Yeah.
And I try, but
I know it's one of those things that
It's an invasive species.
Well, yeah, it self-seeds like a son of a gun. They're a true annual, so they don't live over to the next year, but they make a gazillion seeds, truly. And where I see them, I try to rip them up.
Are you seeing a lot more this
year? Oh, I'm seeing
it everywhere. Probably because of our mildish winter, right?
Mm-hmm. And actually, they've been growing since January. I've been taking them out of my garden since January.
Yeah.
So they've already gone through a generation, possibly. They may have already self-seeded once in some areas of your garden. It depends. But when it's just the plant and no seeds, I've just lifted them and left them in the garden. But now they have seeds on them, so I'm taking them out, and they go into the bad compost pile. But I'm not getting them all, so they'll be back next year. And that's the way it is?
Yeah.
That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Some things you can't fight.
Email from Pat. I love this question because I just can't believe it. I have nothing but sun, no shade at all. As a beginner, what would you suggest I plant?
Almost anything.
Almost anything.
I had that much sun.
Oh my gosh, sun. There's just, take a look at prairie plants.
The world is your oyster, Pat.
Yes. Take a look at prairie plants, different ornamental grasses. We have some beautiful natives like little blue stem, big blue stem, Indian grass, which is Sorghastrum Newtons. We have some gorgeous perennial or prairie plants like purple coneflower, and they're just so
any
much.
Vegetables,
yeah,
any
herbs,
vegetables,
yeah,
any fruits, raspberries, love yeah. hot, bitter, you know, just a wicked sun.
Right. So it's all what you want to plant, whether you're looking for ornamentals or if you're looking for food, food and herbs. There's a lot you can do.
There is so much you can do, Pat. Thanks to Patty Kalb Fleisch in Worthington for your pledge of support. Just five to go now, and we've got a little over like 3.5 minutes to go, and we are looking for five more calls. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day, locally run and locally programmed. 89.7 NPR News exists to make sure that everyone in our wonderful corner or circle of Ohio, however you like to think about it, has access to vital news and information. With locally focused programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher, 89.7 NPR News addresses the issues that impact our community at local, regional, and national levels. It's valuable radio, but it relies on your donations to keep it on the air. Please give now at WOSU.org. And thanks to Chad Seberg in Marysville for your support. Four to go now and 3 minutes left. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Just, we have about a minute left. Mm-hmm. Deb, I wanted to talk about bees.
Oh, boy. We don't have enough, but that's
not enough time.
Okay, for bees, real quick.
We need bees.
We need bees, our native bees and our non-native that makes the honey that we so enjoy. They visit all kinds of flowers. What you want in a flower is native flowers are excellent. There are many non-native flowers that our pollinators also visit. What they need, though, is the pollen and the nectaries. So I know many of you may love your puffball echinacea. Go for it. But the big puffballs are not offering as much food to our pollinators as our species or our cultivars that look like the species.
We have 2 minutes left. Thanks to Donna DeGrand in Columbus for your support. Three calls left to go and just about 1.5 minutes. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Check out our special thank you gift. Yes, Deborah Knapke.
I just wanted to say one other thing. Pesticides, don't use them.
Don't use pesticides.
Because if you're bringing in the bees and the pollinators, don't bring them in to kill them. So that's my other little thing.
Thanks to Michelle Montgomery for your support. Michelle in Columbus. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org, a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News, global, local. Deb Knapke, thanks for your help today.
Thank you.
1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Remember, that's what public radio is, community radio. That's why 89.7 NPR News brings you a show just like this one. All Sides works hard to bring you shows every day that capture the news, politics, and cultural interests of our very unique region. This powerful service helps you understand Central Ohio just a bit more, helps you understand the garden in Central Ohio just a little bit more. Stories that impact your life, your work, and your family, but it is powered by you. Please join us Please join in with your radio station and your local talk show. Make your 89.7 NPR News donation right now, WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to Margaret Scuban in Columbus for your support. I think that means we just have one to go. 1-866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. And thanks so much for listening.